Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Show, where we talk about health tips and strategies to help you be smart, sexy, and strong. On today's show, I have as my guest, Dr. Alan Christensen. Dr. Christensen is a naturopathic physician who specializes in natural endocrinology with a focus on thyroid and adrenal disorders. He is the author of the best-selling book, Complete Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease, and Healing Hashimoto's A Savvy Patient's Guide, and his new book, Adrenal Reset Diet. As a child raised in rural Minnesota, Dr. Christensen struggled with his physical health. Cerebral palsy left him with seizures, poor coordination, and eventually obesity. A comment made by a classmate in seventh grade gym class made him determined to reset his health and his life. Over the next few weeks, he read dozens of books on nutrition, fitness, and health, and created his own recovery plan. Dr. Christensen gave up sugar and developed an exercise routine. He stuck with it and built on it. With no prior sports experience, he became a varsity football player and his class's best endurance runner by ninth grade. This experience taught him that being healthy transformed both how you feel and how others treat you, and that the tickets to health were knowledge and persistence. He frequently appears on national TV shows like The Doctors and The Today Show, as well as magazines like Shape Magazine. When he's not in his busy practice, his favorite hobbies include mountain unicycling and technical rock climbing. Dr. Christensen lives in Scottsdale, Arizona with his wife, Kieran, and their two children. On today's show, we talk about the connection between obesity, food, lifestyle, and hormones. Dr. Christensen shares with us how hormones, specifically adrenal function, can impact our lives and how we can reset our adrenals so we can lose weight, improve our energy and our sleep and our overall health. So please enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Alan.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cates. I'm jazzed to be here with you.
Yeah, great. So I want to start off with your background. I know you've got a really interesting story. So do you mind telling us a little bit about you, your personal story, and how you got into what you're doing?
For sure. I was a fat kid. I had a lot of health challenges, you know, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, motor coordination problems. And I was nerdy and bookish. And I really put on a lot of weight by adolescence. And I experienced firsthand just how much social rejection you get, how much judgment you get from that, and how much inner conflict you can have between how your body works and how it feels and how you'd want it to be. I used the bookish side to plot an exit. I read books. I made some simple plans of consistent exercise and dietary change. And it worked for me, which was cool. But it compelled me to go into medicine, and I learned that there's many people to where the basic steps that helped me were not always enough. They had tried those things, and they didn't really make a difference for them. So I became focused on understanding hormonal disorders, thyroid disease, adrenal conditions, and it really brought me into wanting to understand and make a difference on this global crisis that's affecting, honestly, all of humanity right now.
Right, right. And so, we've talked about obesity together before. Tell us about, share with us, like, how much of a problem is obesity? Let's talk about numbers and how much it increased what's the projection?
You know, I love having the context of this just so that individuals hearing it can realize that it is their struggle, and it's so far beyond just any shortcomings they might have. It's a condition affecting so many. So from the period of about 1990 to 2000, obesity went from rather rare, you know, the first time ever a state crossed 15% obesity was 1990. By 2000, 15% was now the low mark, not the high mark. There was really no states well below 15% obesity in just 10 years. And we're projecting now in these coming decades that roughly two-thirds of the humans on the planet will be overweight, obese, or morbidly obese. So it's skyrocketed in ways that just blow away the concept of blame and responsibility. It's not where it's at.
Right. It's so true. And so what are So with the projections for the next few decades, it's not supposed to get any better, right? I mean, it's just been, it's a problem now, it's become a problem, and it seems like it's going to continue, right? Unless we do something about it.
Yeah. And the part that really makes me passionate about sharing with audiences like yours is that the messages we've been told are so dated and so not only ineffective, but they're counterproductive. The message about this being your fault, and because you're eating the wrong foods and you're not moving enough, the data does not support that. That's just not based upon current evidence. And the problem I have with it is that people waste their efforts on things that don't work, but also that they're put in a state of blame or feeling badly about themselves, which doesn't help. It's not useful.
Right. So what are some of the things that lead to obesity that you think are some of the key things that people should be looking at?
Yeah. So we're seeing a lot of different factors in modern life that have ramped up over the same time frame. And collectively, these factors shift our body into a state of storage. So we're holding on to what we get. We're not burning it. The big factors would include how much fructose we're exposed to, you know, a type of sugar, which environmental chemicals come into our bodies, what the state of our microbiome, our intestinal flora is, what our exposure is to electromagnetic fields, and how our circadian cycles, our daily rhythms, all these things collectively shift us to where we're storing more than we're burning.
Right. And yeah, I think all the things that you mentioned are so important. Can we go into depth a little bit more about some of those? Like you mentioned, well, let me ask you this. What about genes? What about our genes?
Yeah, thank you. That's one that comes up a lot as a kind of pat answer, like, oh, it's genetic. I'm like, well, if it were, we wouldn't see this trend happen. You know, our genes didn't morph 2000. But it's been looked at in good detail. You know, one study looked at pairs of twins separated at birth, and the rate of weight similarity that they had was none. You know, they were identical twins, and they had like same eye color and a lot of same height, same health properties, but their weight was not at all related. And a separate study showed that in the same circumstance, twins separated from birth, the weight discrepancy, you could explain that based upon hormones that cause storage, based upon these adrenal hormones that shift the body into a storage state. So the heavier twin had a measurable difference in their storage cycles.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the hormones. What are the hormones that are most associated with obesity?
You know, the biggest single one would be cortisol. And it's a hormone that governs our fight or flight response. It controls our blood sugar. It regulates inflammation in our immune system, and it's a big part of our storing or not storing. Our adrenals make it, but we're learning now that the visceral fat also makes cortisol. So being heavier makes the body more responsive to it and to produce more of it, and it gets to be a vicious cycle.
Okay, and so let's talk about what affects our adrenals, our cortisol. I mean, obviously, if we have more visceral fat, we're going to produce more cortisol, like you're saying. But what are some of the other things that lead to those problems with adrenals?
You know, and that's it. The things that affect it line up with the things that have shown up to be triggers for obesity. So it's funny, but we think about stressors like this chasing tiger is the classic example. So some are very intuitive, like you've got this horrible experience in traffic, you've got a nasty boss, there's a financial crisis, relationship thing. So most people get that as being a type of a stressor, but many things you would not think of act in the same way. So fructose in the diet, you know, high amounts of a sugar, your body takes that as being coming up on winter soon. You know, we had more fruit during seasons that tended not to last. So when we got more of that, our bodies anticipated coming food shortages. There's a big list of environmental chemicals that to our bodies are no different than the chasing tiger. So these types of factors make our bodies prepare for famine, make our bodies store more food. Also our daily cycles. 1990, the rate of shift work, people working odd hours, went up by about a third globally. So when we sleep, how well we sleep, these are bigger factors than which foods we're choosing and how much we're moving.
Right. What are some of the, you mentioned environmental chemicals, what are some of the things that people should be looking out for that could affect their adrenals?
You know, two of the best studied are plastic derivatives and lead. Bisphenol A, one of the plastic byproducts, and lead are both shown to directly flip that switch and push your body towards storage. So just being exposed to them. And bisphenol A, it's a compound that now is more regulated, but plastics had a long list of nasty toxins that we find out this one's bad, but now it's safe. Oh, I guess there's this one too. Okay, but now it's safe. So I would be cautious of plastics in general.
Right. And there are places where we wouldn't even think of them, right? Like in the receipts that we get anytime you're sending a credit card bill or you're getting a receipt, the bisphenol A is in that, and the lining of cans, dental, getting dental work, the sealants and things like that. So it's a lot of places, not just plastic water bottles. So
correct.
Right. So bisphenol A and lead are the big ones. I mean, you know, I live in Park City, Utah, and lead is a big problem here because, and you wouldn't think of it because it's a, you know, a little mining town up in the mountains, but because of it being a mining town, we have lead in the water. And so it, there are places we get with lead that people don't necessarily think of too, because if people think of, well, lead's banned from paints and gasoline, so why is it still a problem? But you and I know it doesn't go away, right? It stays in the environment, just like it stays in our bodies, right?
Yeah, it builds up. And the amounts that are common in the soils are literally 2,000 to 3,000 above what they were prior to the Middle Ages, before we started really mining it and using it actively. So we've brought a lot of it out of the earth and distributed it in our environment, and it persists there. It hangs around, and it gets stuck in our bodies. You know, it goes where calcium would go. So we get it in our bones, we get it in our nervous system, and it changes our bodies chemically in ways that we don't see on a day-to-day basis, but they're very real.
And so thyroid and adrenal, both. Those are both things that affect, those are hormones that affect our weight a lot, right? Would you say those are the two big ones? And there are other ones too, right?
For sure. You know, a distinction I would make between the two, thyroid could be a bigger factor, but perhaps not for as many people. So there's a certain percent that maybe 20%, maybe a third of adults have a degree of poor thyroid function. And in those cases, it's a large factor. It can slow the basal metabolism by 400 to 600 calories per day. The adrenal function overlaps with that, and it's been shown to be a factor in most everyone struggling with their weight, especially with visceral fat. So those are the big two. You know, other hormones certainly are relevant, estrogen, testosterone, progesterone. So the changes that we have of perimenopause and menopause, or with men with andropause, they can also shift our bodies and make us less stress resilient and more apt to go into the same storage state.
Right. But you find that adrenals are the biggest problem with the most number of people as far as hormones go, right?
That's the most universal. And the data is strong that you can take anyone, and based upon just their circumference of their waist, you can measure the hormonal activity of their adrenals and their visceral fat. And very predictably, the more visceral fat they have, the more those hormones are out of sync and out of rhythm. So it's a very tight correlation with just this global crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've done some studies on adrenals and obesity, right? You've done some research on this. Tell us what you've been finding.
You know, we did a clinical trial, and we wanted to see how this could shift over the course of time just with diet. You know, I had some thoughts going into that. There's a myriad of factors that throw it off, and we can't change all the factors. You know, we can't live in a clean cave with no stressors, with no pollutants and no EMFs. So we're in this world, good or bad. And the other part of it is that I think diet's a big source of stress by itself. You know, either people don't care what they eat and it's hard on them, or they care but they're confused. There's so much contradictory input, especially when it comes to carbohydrate. You know, we hear a lot about, are they good? Are they bad? Do we need them? How much? So I thought it'd be so cool to give people clarity on foods, and especially on carbs, but see if a diet itself could help to fix this rhythm. And we saw that in the course of 30 days, it really could. You know, we saw the scores shift by over 50% only on diet. You know, and with that, we saw a lot of great changes that are typical in terms of weight loss. We also saw dramatic waist loss, which was really cool. We saw like over 2 inches of waist loss on average. For a lot of people that had more they wanted to lose coming into it, they actually lost 4 or 5 and some even 6 inches. So it was really dramatic in that short time frame. And the other cool thing was that typical dieting, we expect to be tired and hungry and craving foods and maybe not sleeping well. And we really saw a lot of the opposite. Many mentioned that their energy picked up, their sleep got better, and their cravings reduced as their weight was coming down. So that was really cool and exciting to see.
Oh, that's great. You know, I think a lot of people, when they diet, they, like, it sounds like what kind of like what you're implying, they put more stress on their body by the what they're doing to try and lose weight, by being really caloric, you know, restricting calories extremely, or eating the wrong foods, the wrong balance of carbohydrates, fats, proteins, you know, and then also exercise too. People will over-exercise and cause more adrenal stress, right?
For sure. And that's the thing. The data is so clear that food restriction and heavy exercise, it just doesn't work. You know, maybe 10% of people get substantial weight loss in those programs. And when you track them a few years out, over 97% have gained 14 pounds more than they lost. So it's just, it's failing. And we've always blamed the people saying, oh, you didn't try hard enough. At some point, we've got to say, this is just a lost effort. And it's not any individual person's fault. It's just that this is a broken model.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Because I think people think of diet foods, they're looking for low fat, or maybe it says low sugar on it, but then it's got other things in it that are still high carb. And there's so much misinformation out there about food and what people should be eating, what's really healthy. So it, you know, it sounds like it's not that diet's not important. It's not that exercise isn't important. It's just that a lot of people have been doing it the wrong way, or have been getting the wrong information, right?
You know, the whole idea has been that it's some kind of a math equation, that the calories in, calories out. And the calorie model, if it was accurate, it would really just be a description. You know, it's kind of like a who won the football game. Well, the team that scored the most touchdowns won the game. Well, duh. You know, that's what the calorie model is at best. It doesn't explain things at all. And it doesn't explain why it's happening on a global scale. And it doesn't explain why anyone would be more tired and more averse to activity, or why they might want more food or different types of food. So at best, it really just describes this. You know, one study that I saw that I loved, it showed what happens to people when they're under clear mental, emotional stress and how it affects their food preferences. They had a large group of people that were given math problems. They were told that it was to check their math aptitude. And one half of them was given easy questions, you know, plenty of time, very gentle, supportive proctors for the test. The other group was the opposite. They had like brutal problems. They were rushed, like, come on, hurry up. And then afterwards, they sent everyone to a buffet. And they just saw what people chose to eat. And those with the that had a bad time at it, they made very different food choices. And literally, they ate all the chocolate cake. So, and it's funny because for some people, there are noticeable shifts in what they want and how much. For others, they're not noticing it. There's not a clear change in their food preferences. But there's always a change in what your body does with the food. You know, are you burning it? Are you energized and lean? Or are you struggling with your weight and tired and storing all of it? And that's the cool thing, is switching that back again to where you're thriving.
Yeah, so true. So let's back up a moment and let's talk about adrenal, like how people will know if adrenals will be a problem for them. So maybe, you know, maybe they're not completely obese, or, you know, maybe they're a little overweight, maybe they're a little tired. How are they going to know if it's thyroid or cortisol or, you know, estrogen, progesterone? What do you recommend for people as far as testing and assessing the situation?
You know, best case scenario, check all the key variables. And really, a good physician, you know, someone like yourself that can really walk someone through the ins and outs of all those questions. On your own, there's a very simple thing called adrenalquiz.com, in which you can just take a test, a questionnaire from the book, and learn where your adrenal function is. And maybe it's on track. When it's not right, it's not just good or bad. There's like three distinct stages of it being off. And you can learn where your stage is. Is it stressed or wired and tired or crashed? And what can be done about it? That's one easy way to go. But for sure, having a great relationship with the savvy, knowledgeable healthcare practitioners are an important part to make sense of all those facets of it.
Right, great. And a lot of naturopathic physicians like you and I are know a lot about adrenal and thyroid and other hormone function and understand about how diet and lifestyle plays a role in that. And there, so there's the AANP, American Association of Naturopathic Physicians site is naturopathic.org. There's a Find an ND site on there, a place on there, right, that people can go and find an ND. And there are a lot of other, there are MDs that do holistic medicine. There are a lot of different practitioners you can find, people can find around the country that can help support them. Or they can come visit you or I, right? You have people traveling all over the place to come visit you, right?
Yeah, probably about a third or so of our patients travel out of state, and probably about 5% travel from out of the country. So that's kind of common for us.
Yeah, great. Okay, so now the quiz. How do people find the quiz?
So easy thing, adrenalquiz.com. It's there. You can take the quiz, and it's actually inside the book that's coming out as well. You know, the whole thing about the study, about the correlations between weight and adrenals and how to fix it, these are all central elements of a book that's just coming out.
Okay, great. So tell us about your book.
So here's the thing. So your tribe, I'd love to just give you all a gift of the actual book. You know, we've got a bunch we've picked up, and I want to give a large group of these away. I'm just asking for help with shipping and handling, but I'm totally taking a loss on them. I want to get the message out to people that follow you, that have been supportive of you, and help make a big difference. But it's been years and years of research, and it'll be able to really give someone the clear steps as far as their own personalized diet, how to time the foods. It's not really about restriction as it is about timing, but how to really time them in a way to rebuild those rhythms, to regain energy and, you know, lean out spontaneously and get better sleep all together.
Great. So you talk about timing of food throughout the day, right? So when you're supposed to have more carbohydrates versus fat, protein throughout the day, that there's a timing for this, which I think is so fascinating, because we've always talked about the balance, you know, eating balanced meals, but your approach is different. It actually changes throughout the day based upon your adrenal. So that's all in your book too, right?
It is. So your cortisol amounts from morning versus night. You know, I think about it like your internal coffee machine. You make a big burst to wake you up, and you shut it off to go to sleep. And your food, the ratio of your foods, can change your expression of cortisol. So it's a cool thing to time that out to rebuild that rhythm back to a healthy range again.
And that completely makes sense. And this was part of your study too, right? Yeah. So you did that with all your study.
That was the cool thing, is we tracked those rhythms in those who did the diet. And we saw that, unlike typical dieting in which your total stress load worsens, it improved, and their circadian cycles got healthier again. And there's so much data on this that all the hormones that control appetite, things like leptin, ghrelin, adiponectin, they're tied into this daily rhythm. And when the daily rhythm's on track, you know, we're hungry for good foods, we're satisfied and we're full, and we burn them up for fuel. But when those things are not on track, it doesn't work well. We've got some combination of fatigue and weight struggles. So it's not about deprivation, it's just about timing and rhythm.
Right. And so what you're saying is the way that this type of eating not only affects adrenal hormones, but affects other hormones too.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. And so the relationship, so I guess the idea is that, you know, adrenal is the core part of this, right? Because this is a big part of the reset of it, but the other hormones, it affects the other hormones, right?
For sure. And what happens too, of the many jobs that cortisol has, one of them is to shuttle other hormones into your cells to get used. So when there's a good rhythm, I almost think about it like a breaking wave. You know, you got this daily wave where there's this big surge of cortisol, just like a wave. When you've got that wave moving through your cells, you respond predictably to your other hormones. You know, you bring them in, you get good benefit out of them. But when that wave is not right, even if they are at good levels, you would not experience it. You would not get the benefits from them. So it's critical for your body to really manage how other hormones work at that cellular level.
Well, that's great. Do you also talk about environmental toxins and some of the other things you mentioned in your book? Do you talk about those as well?
For sure. That's a big part of it. And I've also built the diet to do some like daily detox. So you're not even aware of it, but behind the scenes, it helps your body prevent the reabsorption of wastes and help waste leave your body more effectively. And then also good tips about environmental hygiene, like reducing what comes into your system. So yeah, it's a very critical part of it too.
Right. And you mentioned too about cortisol changes throughout the day, how it's higher in the morning and lower at night. So I see a lot of patients with high cortisol at night. And so this will also help with sleep too, right? It's helping people reset their adrenal. So the cortisol is in the right balance. So it's supposed to, you know, so it can get back to being high in the morning and low at night, so it can actually sleep at night.
You know, it's important enough by itself, but there's so much mounting data saying that sleep is the big elephant in the room when it comes to body weight. Most people that have weight struggles have sleep problems, and they go together. And the tie-in is that adrenal cycle. So when it's reset, yeah, you're burning fuel, you're staying lean, and you're getting deep, refreshing sleep. And that's so...
Yeah, it's so, so important. And I know that it's, especially as we get older... That is something that tends to shift, our adrenal shift, whereas a lot of our hormones are going down, you know, progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, those are declining. Adrenal hormones, the cortisol especially, it kind of flips. So it's lower in the morning and higher at night. That's kind of one of the backwards things that happens as we get older. But the good news is that we don't have to suffer through that. So many people think that they just, you know, it's just part of getting older and you have to suffer through it and there's no other way. But luckily we know that that's not the case and there are solutions.
That's the cool thing is it can really come around again. And as powerful as it is and as much as it affects health, it can be fixed and it can be reset.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this information with us. And I will have a link to to purchase your book off of the website. And so that people can go there, they can find out about the quiz too. I'll have a link there. And so people can get your book. And I hope it all goes well with your book launch. I'm so excited.
Thank you. And it's not purchase, it's free.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's free. So how long is it free though? Because this interview is going to be up for a while. So how long are you offering it for free?
It'll be first come, first serve.
Okay.
when the free ones are all gone, there will still be opportunities to pick up the book and to pre-order it. And we'll have some great bonuses along with that. But yeah, they'll go quick. So yeah, go get them when you can.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Alan, for coming on. And we'll have to have you back on again.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm happy to be here with you, Dr. Trevor, and always glad to.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Dr. Alan Christensen. If you want to get the free book offer and quiz that he mentioned, please go to my website, drtrevorcates.com. Go to the podcast page with his interview and you'll see the links there. But remember, he has a limited supply of those free books, so do it soon so you don't miss out. And if you like this interview or have ideas for other upcoming interviews, please send me a Facebook message at Dr. Trevor Cates. I'd love to hear from you and what ideas that you have. Thanks again and have a great day.